Right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus this evening. Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. We're going to begin a series on the book of Exodus. Here in chapter 6, verses 6 to 8, I think we have very concisely stated the purpose of the book and the main theme of the book. And I trust this book will be a blessing to you as we study through this wonderful book within the Word of God. Verse number 6 of Exodus 6 reads, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land, concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord." Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, we love you and we do pray that you would do a work of revival within each of our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. The book of Exodus is the second book of the first five books of the Old Testament known as the Pentateuch. And these books are known as the books of Moses, Moses being given credit as the author, the compiler of these books. Now, the theme of Genesis is beginnings, not only creation of all things, but also the entrance of sin into the world. In contrast, the book of Exodus is the book of deliverance. The word Exodus means way out. You won't find the word Exodus in the text of Scripture. You'll find it above the text of Scripture. So God provides a way out from bondage, out of bondage for God's people. So that God can worship, so that those delivered out of bondage can worship God freely and fully. And in the same way, Jesus Christ has provided a way out from the bondage of sin. So you and I can worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, if we go back to Exodus chapter 1, we will see the book of Genesis ends with the death of Moses, death of Joseph, on the page before. Genesis chapter 50, verses 22 to 26, reads, "And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, and the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of the land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. And they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So the book of Genesis ends with death, and it ends with a record of the death of Joseph. But before Joseph died, he told his people that your time will come, your time in Egypt will end eventually. God will bring you out of the land of Egypt in order to lead you back to the promised land. And this is the whole purpose of the book of Exodus. God leading his people out of bondage in order to lead them into the promised land. And Joseph, shortly before he died, he gave the prophecy that God will visit you. God will work and God will bring you back into the land of promises. God always keeps his promises. God's word is true. Our God is true. God is no liar. What he said he will do, he will do. And Joseph confidently stood before his family and his own people and said, God will visit you in the time to come. And God will lead you out of Egypt into the promised land. But when you return, I want you to take my bones with you. The book of Exodus has 40 chapters. 40 chapters. And a concise outline of the book would be as follows. Chapters 1 to 18, I think of the word liberty. Liberty. God setting Israel free from bondage. That's the essence of chapters 1 to 18. Then chapters 19 to 24, the word live. Liberty, live. From chapters 19, we read that God's people are at Mount Sinai. And God taught Israel how to live. And God taught Israel what he expected of them. And God too teaches you and I how to live. And what God expects of us. See, we've been delivered from sin unto Christ. And God expects us to live in such a way that he will be honored. So the emphasis of chapters 19 to 24 is living. God taught the people of God how to live and please him. Chapters 1 to 18, liberty, how God delivered his people out of bondage. And then last but not least, chapters 25 to 40, the word love sums up the final 15 chapters. Liberty, live, and love. That is, God taught his people how to love their God and how to correctly worship him. So God teaches us that we need to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not up to you and I to be creative in a sense as to how we worship God. God has set the standard. And God has taught us how he wants us to worship him. So chapters 25 to 40, we read of the building of the tabernacle and for God's people to worship God and to prove their love for God by their worship. So chapters 1 to 18, liberty. Chapters 19 to 24, live. Chapters 25 to 40, love. God taught them how they are to love God and worship him correctly. Now, as we go back to Exodus chapter 1, and as we glean over this chapter, I'd like for us to note some key points this evening, and then we will end with a focus on two women that feared and honored God. In verses 1 to 5 of chapter 1, we have listed the sons of Jacob and a mention of their families that migrated to Egypt. Note there verses 1 to 5. Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin. Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And verse 5 reads, "And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already." So we have listed the sons of Jacob with their families that migrated to Egypt from verses 1 to 5. Now in verse number 6 it reads, "And Joseph died and all his brethren." The brethren here is in reference to verses 2 to verse 4. "And all his brethren and all that generation." So verse 6, we have the death of Joseph, and all the original brothers and their families have died. Then we move on to verse number 7. "The family of Israel grew extraordinarily and became a nation, just as God had promised." Note verse 7. "And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them." If you go back to Genesis chapter 12, God promised Abraham that from his loins will God build a great nation. Note there in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Note verse 2. "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, for thou shalt be a blessing." So God said to Abraham, I'm going to build from your very loins a great nation. And this nation will be a means of blessing to the whole world. And praise God that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, came through the loins of Abraham, came into the world to save sinners such as you and I, that we might be delivered from the penalty and power of sin, and Lord willing, by the grace of God in time, from the presence of sin, and be delivered to live and honor God fully. Family of Israel grew extraordinarily. In fact, there in Exodus chapter 12, verse number 37, the Bible teaches us there were no less than 600,000 men. Genesis 12:37. It reads, "And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men beside children." So there was at least 600,000 of them. That's just the men besides the children. So there could well have been at least 1 million. And most Bible commentators would say between 1 million to 2 million of them. So God was true to his word in that from Abraham's modest little family, God built a great nation. And if we go back to Exodus chapter 1, we note there in verse number 8 of Exodus chapter 1, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt which knew not Joseph." A new king that didn't know Joseph makes a number of observations. Verse number 9. "He said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we." There are more of them than us. And then in verse number 10, They could potentially rise up against us, said this king. In verse 10 it reads, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. So this new king, this new Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, makes a number of observations. There's a lot of these Hebrews. And they could potentially rise up and battle against us. And that leads us to verses 11 to 14. The Bible teaches us that he made life harsh for them. But the more God's people were afflicted, the more they grew in number. Verses 11 to 14. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service, wherewith they made them serve, was with rigor. So the Bible teaches us that because they grew in great number, the king decided we're going to make life tough for these Hebrews. But yet the Bible teaches us the more they were afflicted, the more they grew in number. It's been well said, no pain, no gain. And when God allows you and I to be afflicted, we will grow thereby. We need affliction. We need hardship. We need pain from time to time, because these are means by which we will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the more God's people were oppressed, the more they grew. But as we read on in verses 15 and 16, this tactic wasn't working. God's people continued to increase in number, as we read there in verse number 12. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. So this tactic wasn't working, so the king of Egypt instructed the chief midwives to kill every new male born. Every new male baby was to be killed. Note then verses 15 and 16. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live. So these two midwives were instructed, as you are aiding the birth of a child, of a Hebrew, if it's a male, you are to kill him. If it's a female, then the child is allowed to live. And from this point on, we read on and we note the response of the midwives. And the midwives' response gives us some insight on how we should respond to demands that are contrary to the Word of God in our day. It seems like it's becoming more and more difficult to live biblically. It's becoming more and more difficult to openly live a biblical life. We have to be politically correct in the workplace. For example, so it's becoming more and more difficult to live biblically. Let's note how these women responded to the demand that was placed upon them. First and foremost, note that in verse 17, the Bible reads, "But the midwives feared God." We see that these women feared God. They were devoted to God. They feared God first and foremost. And what benefit is there in fearing God? Well, in Proverbs chapter 9, please, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10, gives us a key benefit in fearing God. Note there in Proverbs 9:10, it reads, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." God will give wisdom to those that fear Him. The midwives feared God. In contrast, Proverbs 29:25 reads, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." So the fear of man bringeth a snare, but those that fear God, God will impart His wisdom. So we see with these midwives, they feared God. And because they feared God, note there in verse number 17, their response to this demand from the king of Egypt. "But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive." Because they were devoted to their God, they feared God. They did not do what the king requested of them, but purposely saved the lives of all the male Hebrew children. They were determined. They were not only devoted, they were determined to obey the word of God. They believed to kill innocent lives is contrary to God's will. It is contrary to God's will under any circumstance to kill innocent lives. The Bible teaches us in John 10, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus Christ comes to give life and life more abundantly. And this group of women, these midwives, said, "No, we're not going to kill the male babies. We're going to spare them and keep them alive." They were devoted and they were determined to save the male Hebrew children. The women stood their ground when they were questioned. Note then verse number 18. "And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive?" So we see not only devotion, not only do we see determination, we see a definite standing upon that which is true. The midwives were not intimidated. They courageously stood for what they believed. And beloved, you and I as Bible-believing Christians need to stand for what we believe. And if you and I will truly stand for what we believe, God will grant grace. God will give us wisdom. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God wants us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It was expected of these midwives to kill the male babies, and they said, "No, we will not do so," and they were willing to stand for what is right. They were willing to stand their ground.
And may God help us as Bible-believing Christians to stand upon Bible truth. There are so many people standing upon nonsense and that which is godless. We need a generation of Bible-believing Christians that will stand for what is true and that which is biblical. Note their response in verse 19, their deliberation in verse 19. How do they answer the king of Egypt? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, see? Look at verse 19. The midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. The way they responded to Pharaoh was, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. Their babies are born quickly. In fact, by the time we get to the birth, the child has already been born. So that's how they responded to the king. They don't have long labors, these Hebrew women. The babies are born very, very quickly. And so God gave them wisdom in how to respond to Pharaoh. And I'm so thankful for James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, where the Bible teaches us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. And the midwives responded to Pharaoh by simply saying, hey, these Hebrew women, they're not like the Egyptian women. When they give birth, and before you know it, the child's born. And often we arrive and the child's already been born. And that makes sense because they multiplied exceedingly, the Bible teaches us. So they must have had quick births. You work it out. Lots and lots of them. The women responded wisely. And God blessed them for their stand. Note then verses 20 and 21. The Bible reads, therefore God dealt well with the midwives. And the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And in verse 21 it reads, and it came to pass because the midwives feared God that he made them houses. So God blessed the midwives. He honored them for their courageous stand on the behalf of the people of God. And God used them to aid the birth and the building of a great nation. And God honored them because they chose to do right. They were courageous. They stood their ground. And God blessed them accordingly. The nation of Israel continued to grow. And God provided the needs of the midwives. For verse 21 teaches us, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. Who made them houses? God provided for them. That's the context. Because it reads in verse 20, therefore God dealt well with the midwives. So somehow God provided for them and God blessed the nation of Israel because these midwives were willing to stand for truth. They were provided for abundantly because they honored God. And beloved, for you and I that know Jesus Christ as Savior, we need to be prepared to stand for truth. It's about time that God's people stand up for what's right and what is true. And if God gives you an opportunity to say, thus saith the Lord, you're to say it for the glory of God. And that's what we need today. And this is why Australia is where it's at today, because many of God's people are not speaking up for truth. That they don't fear God, and therefore they don't have the wisdom of God to speak wisely for God, and therefore God is not honored. I do believe there's a lot more Christians out there than Christians that actually speak up and live up for Jesus Christ. And that's a sad commentary. These midwives would not do what was requested of them. because it was contrary to the word of God. They were willing to stand for truth because they feared God. They didn't fear man. Are you willing to go against the grain and do what God commands you and I to do? Are we willing to be obedient to God's will, no matter the cost? So we see devotion, we see a determination and a definite standing upon that which is right and that which is true with these midwives. And may God help us to stand for what is true, because it's becoming more and more difficult to live out, to flesh out the Christian life. And we need people of God to stand for what is true. But it begins with you and I fearing God. See, our problem is that we fear man more than fear God. And may God do a work of grace within each of our hearts. May God revive us so that we would first and foremost fear God and say what God would have us to say and do what God would have us to do. And as it reads in Acts chapter 5 verse 29, we need to be determined to obey God above man. And when there is a conflict, we need to obey God first and foremost. And that's what the midwives did. They feared God. And because they feared God, they wanted to please God. And they were willing to stand courageously for that which is right, that which is true. And God gave them the grace to do so. And not only God gave them grace, God provided abundantly for them. May God help us to stand for what is true. Unfortunately, we are living in a day in which our Christian values, our Christian way of life is constantly under attack. And we need Bible-believing Christians that will stand upon biblical truth. You and I need to be willing to speak up for the glory of God, because it's going to become more and more likely that you and I will be called to respond contrary to the word of God. And until you and I are prepared to stand for truth at whatever cost, that's what Australia needs. You know, got all these mad hatters out there standing for all sorts of nonsense, and we need Bible-believing Christians that will stand for the truth, the word of God. And we see here in Exodus chapter 1, the glowing example of these two midwives that feared God and were willing to stand for truth. And may God grant us the grace to stand for truth. And as we fear God, we can trust God to give us that wisdom in how to respond in standing for truth. Let's bow for prayer.